this is Sherry Edwards. The show is Sound Health, and this is BBS Radio, where we stand together as we, the people. Right or wrong, good or bad, we're all entitled to our opinions, and that makes us unique, special, and creative. Ralph Fusitola is going to be our guest today. Ralph, are you with us?
I sure am.
Hello, Sherry. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to be with us. That song you heard was America the Beautiful by Ray Charles. And Ralph and I think I can speak for Ralph, are very excited about today's program because we think that this show could make a difference and help us take back America. And we think that's largely due to the connections that we've made with each other, all of you too, on the Internet. This show is about a new way to take back our freedom and our rights. We're going to talk about Ron Paul's campaign and what he's doing for America and how he's helping us take back what's ours in the beginning and what we've lost to big government, big brother. Seth, who is the producer of the show, I think has an announcement for us, something exciting that just happened. Seth, are you on the air with us?
Yes, I am.
No, I guess he's not.
No, I'm here.
Well, I guess we can...
Well, I hear him, but he's really, really faint.
I can fix that.
Seth,
there
can,
he is.
Okay, can you speak up and tell us about this exciting event for BBS?
Sure thing. We got, this Sunday, we got Ron Paul Radio on BBS Radio. And it started by a young man. He's DJ Lottie out of Florida. And he'd never been involved in politics before. And he just heard about Ron Paul and lit a fire under him. So he bought ronpaulradio.com and started an internet radio station. And they've been covering all the major events so far. They're at the straw poll, the debates. And now he's bought a radio program on BBS Radio. So he and Don sussed it out, and he's got an hour at 3 p.m. on Sundays.
Well, and we already know that BBS supports Ron Paul wholeheartedly.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's getting to the people. The show we're going to play tonight is about Ron Paul being left out of the debates and the people and how they came together. It's only 13 minutes long, but it is awesome. And then we're going to talk about some of the issues. So thank you for that announcement, Seth, and feel free to just jump in here and talk to us at any point.
Well, thank you very much, and have a nice show.
Thank you. Ralph Fusitola, our guest, is an attorney and an absolute supporter of the rights of the people. He has been working with Ron Paul's campaign to rewrite some of the health freedom stuff.
Actually, Sherry, I was privileged to have some input in the health freedom plank, which they just added to ronpaul2008.com, if you go to the issues page. But I have to say, I drafted it and sent it to them, my ideas, and they strengthened them. They added things to it that I like and I approve of entirely, but I wasn't sure they were going to be, you know, take that strong a position, and they did. They've come out very strongly against forced vaccination, very strongly against all forms of forced medication. And of course, the other health freedom planks. We were concerned about, you know, such things as Codex and the North American Union and the FDA's recent assault on health freedom. So it was very good to see at least one candidate for president who really understands. Of course, I think he's the only doctor running for president, and he may understand a lot more about what ails this country than the usual group of lawyers and rich boys. Very good, their positions. And, you know, it's not just the health freedom issue, Sherry. It's a lot of other issues. He's the only one who's really talking about what's happening to the U.S. dollar. Yesterday, various banking sources put $184 billion of liquidity into the markets to keep the U.S. dollar from completely collapsing. And that's a very serious sign. And it shows that Dr. Paul has been absolutely the only member of Congress or any other, you know, public person in this country who's been speaking the truth about this to people. So it's a really major move.
I think the campaign behind him is a major move, a major change, because it's not him organizing his people. It's the people coming to him already organizing in very large groups and saying, can we help? And for those of you who really don't know who Ron Paul is, he's an advocate. About 10 years he's been in the House of Representatives from Texas.
He had two separate terms. He served from the early 70s to, I think, the very beginning of the 80s. And then he basically thought he was retiring from Congress. He went back to his medical practice. You know, he's an obstetrician, and he presided over 4,000 births. And he just, you know, he ran for president of the United States on the Libertarian Party line once before, got 500,000 votes. And he, back in the mid-90s, felt that there was enough change going on in the country in a good direction that he might have some influence again. So he ran again. I mean, I think he lost his position in Congress in the first place because his own party arranged for him to be gerrymandered out of existence. But I'm not sure the full story behind that. But in his second term, second set of terms, he's been a real champion of freedom. Of course, the first time as well. In his first half of his career in Congress, and we have at least two sections, about 10 years each, I guess, or maybe the more recent one has been longer. In the first section, he was the main force behind the re-legalization of the private ownership of gold bullion in this country. From the time of the Great Depression, I think at 33, until the mid-1970s, it was illegal for Americans to own gold bullion anyway. Gold jewelry and stuff, but not, mm-hmm. Meaningful gold. And, of course, that was a really great violation of our freedom. And it was a major step towards the social fascist system that we call the New Deal. And by championing the private ownership of gold, he really sealed the end of the socialist movement in the United States. And he really was the major force behind returning this country to a free market economy. For that reason alone, he ought to be president of the United States, if for no other reason. But in the past decade that he's been in Congress, he's been an untiring champion of peace and freedom and an untiring opponent of warfare and this police state which seems to be forming around us.
And getting taxes lowered. He calls it a raid on our own endeavors, our own work and thinks the government ought to just step out of raping us. He calls it a raid on your paycheck. I think that's a really good issue that we ought to talk about tonight. I want to start with this 13-minute film. It's so wonderful. It just says it all. I was going to try to summarize it, but it's just so self-explanatory about the people who are behind him and how those canned news and big government and are trying to go behind his back and leave him out. And with the internet now, where we can get to each other in big numbers, we're not going to be spoon-fed the crap anymore. We're getting the real stuff now from his campaign. So we're going to take calls later on, but this first 13 minutes here, we're going to play this audio. And if you want to follow along with us, it's on Ron Paul, RONPAUL, 2008.com. It's on the front page where there's videos. I'm going to see if I can get it keyed up here, and we'll be a go here in a second.
Presidential candidate Ron Paul was not invited to the Presidential Candidates Forum sponsored by the Iowans for Tax Relief and the Iowa Christian Alliance. However, many Iowans wanted to hear Dr. Paul, so the Ron Paul campaign hosted its own event, a celebration of life and liberty. The energy started building early in the day when an impromptu rally in the parking lot attracted the attention of a news helicopter.
Dr. Paul!
I'm glad you let me join you. This is great.
We are so happy.
I hear you have a little going on.
We got a little revolution.
I thought I'd be get involved here a little bit. Are we going to have fun today?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah!
Lots of fun. A lot of times campaigns are centered around the individual, and the individual starts it and rallies the troops. But the truth is, the people who are interested in sound government, limited government, the Constitution, are really the organizers. And I just happen to be in a place where I can encourage you and join you and hopefully lead. But the truth is, the only way for this to work is grassroots support. It's spontaneous. People are trying now to emulate us, and they have no idea what's going on. All I can say is I am very happy that I am part of what you're doing. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
They explained toward the beginning that they set a number of criteria, one being moderately substantial. Campaign organization on the ground in Iowa, they felt that Ron Paul didn't qualify.
Is just showing people flocking into the building and carrying signs in support.
We discovered Ron Paul probably 6 months ago by an email, and I'm real frustrated with politics in general. And we heard the message of Ron Paul, the constitutionalist. He is for freedom and for liberty. We like what he stands for. His voting record and everything that he's done speaks for itself. We just heard that he was excluded from the forums, and that was a little bit frustrating. And, of course, heard Jan Michelson on the radio and Ed Thaler basically saying there were no Iowans who supported Ron Paul. And that's simply not true. There's a number of Iowans who support Ron Paul, and we wanted to come out here and show at least our family and our support of Ron Paul.
Why we're here? Because we're trying to support our freedom. You don't see people walking down the street shouting, Hillary! Hillary! There's something that's passionate, and there's a reason behind what we're doing, and it's quite evident to everyone else who sees it. Because no other candidate has this behind them.
They might have more money, but it's corrupt money, and Ron Paul's not accepting that. I think it's pretty evident that we have more heart than money can buy.
He would be the greatest president we have had since Washington, Jefferson, Madison. I'm going to work hard for him.
How can you have a tax reform debate and not have Ron Paul be a part of it? So it's a joke. It's just another attempt to keep the message down, because unfortunately it's too powerful of a message for a lot of people to hear, especially, you know, the power elite. So.
Probably
possibly one of the best things that could have even happened to Ron Paul in Iowa was to be excluded from this event. You know, all across the state, people could think it was a disappointing thing that, the congressman wasn't invited. And there's, you know, newspapers all over the state and blogs and TV news and radio news who talked about this. They just got out the word about Congressman Paul. And this event is obviously from the high quantity of people that we have here that Congressman's going to get a big response, I think.
Hi, I'm Mike. I'm from Palatine, near Chicago. Came out here. I'm here bringing people over from the taxpayers conference over here, where Ron Paul was not invited. Lots of people are enjoying getting the information right here about Ron Paul, and they're going in, and they're looking forward to meeting him and hearing him speak and having dinner with them. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's been a fun day.
Big prize and the big surprise. And that is the straw poll in the state of Iowa, August 11th, at the Ames Coliseum. We have over 1,000 people here, and we are going to bring 10,000 people to Ames.
So, folks, the fringe candidate filled the hall, didn't he? Thank you so much for coming. And I want to tell you something. I've been traveling in the last few weeks. There is a prairie fire going on across this country. It's not just in Iowa. It's all across this country. And with prayer and with faith and with a lot of hard work, we can take this the distance. If you'll stay with us, spread the word, get your friends involved. We're going to do this thing. We are going to save America. There is hope for America. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. My message to you from...
this is one of the other campaign managers.
Only a few months ago. The message is our campaign is growing by the day. It's growing by the day. And why is that? Well, first of all, it was family and friends close to Dr. Paul who encouraged him to make this decision to run for President of the United States. Second of all, why is the campaign growing by the day? Because the staff in our campaign headquarters in Virginia and our staff in the Clute, Texas office, the home of Dr. Paul. The third reason our campaign is growing by the day is because supporters and volunteers from Pasadena to Manchester, from Chicago to Atlanta, and now here in Iowa. The fourth reason that our campaign is growing by the day is because of the message. The message that Dr. Paul has talked about for so many years, he's voted for so many times on the House floor, oftentimes alone, consistently, quietly, confidently, the message. And of course, fifth, the man.
Dr. Paul himself, which you'll meet him in just a few minutes. Yes, our campaign is growing by the day. I thank you for it, and give you a little glimpse of what's happening around the United States. Please watch this video. It was CNN debate in Manchester, New Hampshire, a few weeks ago, and you get an idea of what the excitement was in Manchester.
Film, and you just heard the words of it, and when you see the pictures that go with it, it's very moving.
The great energy, the when he was excluded from that one debate, and his followers just turned out to be a much larger number than the people at the debate, and they basically, as you heard from the chanting, took over the building. It was very powerful.
I think what's coming down here is Ron Paul equals freedom. Past, present, future, personal, public, Ron Paul equals freedom, and that's what's been taken away from us. Well, I can't say that. It's been given away by our complacency. And like this song says, don't underestimate the power of you. I think that's an awesome statement.
Yep.
We did vocal prints of Ron Paul and the other candidates, and the only one even slightly near him was Obama. And we have been asked to do one other candidate, which we'll do on Monday's show. But we're going to talk about some of the issues with Ron Paul, and we're going to have him talk to you about them. If you want to call us, it's 877-876-5227, toll-free in the U.S. Canada, toll-free 888-815-9756. The direct line, 530-876-3222. We are going to be monitoring emails, soundhealth@soundhealth.org, and radio at vocalprofiling.com. Ralph, I see you just sent me something on the email. Oh, you
great.
Sent out an announcement about the
show today.
The show.
Yep, I wish I'd done it a few hours before, but it was a busy day, as you said. But there are a lot of people we know who are on the Internet right now. I keep on getting emails from various people. The network on the Internet, exactly what Ron Paul was saying, this amazing network of people is very powerful. We saw that recently in the health freedom movement in regards to a particular FDA guidance that was issued. In fact, Dr. Paul called this particular guidance in his written comments on it an abuse of FDA power. They issued a guidance on complementary and alternative medicine back in the end of December. Didn't bother telling anybody about it legally and officially until a Federal Register notice was published in late February, and they never actually really issued a press release. They normally issue press releases for these things, so obviously it was trying to be snuck through. When I noticed it, because I checked the FDA website fairly regularly, I emailed out to a group of people around the country, including people on Dr. Paul's supporters, and over the following month, over almost 200,000 messages were generated to the FDA from people all over the country demanding that they leave our complementary and alternative modalities alone. That was organized through the Natural Solutions Foundation, of which I'm one of the trustees, and people who are interested in that can go to the website healthfreedomusa.org, healthfreedomusa.org, for a lot more information about that. Dr. Paul's congressional office and his campaign have both been very supportive of these issues. Of course, the campaign and the congressional office are quite separate, and we've been communicating with both, seeking to educate and to help. And I've been very impressed by the dedication and the understanding that the people in these organizations have of these issues.
Well, that clip is so self-explanatory, right, that this is not the presidential candidate organizing something. This was a people's rally. And when we think about, the people who think they're in charge, the canned news, the censored information, that they're going to run this election, I think you're going to see something never been done before. And the only way this is going to be possible was the internet and shows like BBS. And I just think it's incredible. Had you heard that clip before?
I've heard parts of that. There's a very powerful section where he talks about the internet that he also has separately on the YouTube, where he promises never to tax or regulate or restrict the internet.
Well, let me see if I can get that one up.
You have that one? Oh, that's a really strong one. That goes to the heart of this new instrument we have for promoting freedom. Our mouses. Yes, not mice, but mouses.
Sometimes I'm having trouble with this. I have to refresh it.
Basically, after explaining how the internet has created this tremendous movement around the country, he promises that if he's elected president, there will be no taxes and no restrictions on the internet.
Here comes, I think.
He's the only candidate who wants to make that promise.
Tuning into the Ron Paul 2008 channel feature on You Choose 2008. This week we've got a special treat for you. We're going to have Dr. Paul talking about a different issue every day. 7 days, 7 videos. Today you're going to hear Dr. Paul talk about his success on the internet. So check it out.
There doesn't seem to be any official award, but quickly becoming also the best friend of the internet. What do you think about the internet? Why should that be important to people?
Well, the internet to me is the political equalizer of the age, because we who use the internet a whole lot, and the young people who like it and others, find out that they can get information that is unbiased. And evidently there's a lot of people in this country, and especially young people, who don't particularly like canned news coming from the major television networks. When I was raising my kids, there was a lot of television watching. I worried about that, but I don't think kids sit and watch television as much now. They'll be watching their computers. But I think this is very good. Of course, there's always good and bad in everything, just as there isn't any publication in television and radio and whatnot. But at least there's more honest reporting and more honest news, and you have to be more discretionary on, what you're going to pick and look at. But to me, it is the true equalizer. I think we're doing very well in our campaign, a lot better than I had anticipated. At the same time, there are other candidates who have raised a lot more money than we have. So we have a campaign that is growing rather rapidly, both in fundraising and number of people, but a lot of our success has come through the internet. So we've literally equalized ourselves to those who have had tens of millions of dollars. The Internet, I think, is it. The Internet is the big thing. It doesn't mean that you can do everything on the Internet, but it might be the real organizer. And literally, the Internet has been spontaneous for us. But I think our candidacy is different than the others because we're philosophically motivated and we're not a top-down. We try our best to be well-organized, but the truth is we have trouble keeping up with the spontaneous organizations of groups around the country just popping up. I mean, it's literally freedom. So when I talk about freedom, if people know about the freedom of the Internet, there must be a connection there. Oh, yeah, freedom is the Internet. I can look and go here and pick this and talk to my friends and all this thing. So, and of course, I don't want to ever tax the Internet, and I don't want to regulate the Internet. And I want, that's one thing that really gives us a chance to combat this horrendous movement to big government, because we can talk to a lot of people. So I see it as very exciting and something that is very beneficial. If we ever get wind of the fact that the government wants to regulate or tax, that is a bad sign. Of course, it's in the winds. Even at times, they bring up the UN about regulating the Internet because it's a world phenomenon. I see this as a very dangerous notion. But right now, I think you're going to have a little trouble reining in the Internet, and I think it's great.
What do you think, Ralph?
I think he's got a very strong understanding. And while Al Gore may claim to have invented the Internet, I think it's Ron Paul who is going to prove to be the first politician who really understands how to use it. I think that he understands that because he's not really a politician. Really what he is a freedom fighter. And he understands what's needed to return this country back to be to the republic, which it once was.
As an attorney, do you have any idea why the government would think they had a right to tax the Internet? I can see maybe tax the roads or tax gasoline to fix the roads. That has some logic to it. But what does the government have to do with the Internet? There's no road. There's nothing they're paying for or upkeeping.
I completely agree. It's just free speech. And the power to tax is the power to destroy. And if they have the power to tax the Internet, they have the power to, in effect, destroy it. And that means that our free speech rights are completely at the mercy of the authorities. And that's not the legal basis for this society. In fact, the Declaration of Independence says that when governments become destructive of our freedoms, we have the absolute right to change them. Governments never have the right to take our freedom from us. We always have the right to defend our freedom.
I opened the show with opinions, good, bad, right, and wrong. You know, as much as I love the Internet and its freedoms, there are some people out there that can cause absolute havoc with untruths.
That's really a difficult situation. It was something back when, in the beginning of the 20th century, when freedom of speech was getting very serious consideration by some very great judges in the Supreme Court and in the higher federal courts. One of the issues was just what you're saying. And to a great extent, many of the judges felt that truthful information would win out in the end. And that was basically, of course, Thomas Jefferson's position too. It's tough, but you can't have freedom for only approved ideas. It just doesn't work. And so we have to take those risks. We have to develop methods whereby people can learn whether criticisms on the Internet are truthful or whether they're exaggerated, and can listen to both sides of the story. So, for example, there are these websites that attack alternative healers. The Quack Watch and similar websites. And there's some evidence that the people who are involved in these are not themselves the experts they pretend to be. But be that as it may, these websites are used to launch attacks. They, for example, the typical thing will be to publish information on charges against a doctor. but the resolution of the charges are never posted. And oftentimes those charges are dropped, and they're not real. And so people's reputations get harmed by incomplete information. It's truthful, but it's misleading. And, you know, the standard for truthful commercial speech in this country, the FTC enforces, is what's called truthful and not misleading. It has to be both to be, you know, truly proper, you know, true free speech. And I think that that structures need to be developed voluntarily, in the proper, you know, without the government interfering, because that's just more interference with free speech. And I think that's going to happen. The market will eventually develop ways where people can look at it objectively and can weigh the truth of the charges. And that's what we have to work towards.
I know in our own case, we went to court with somebody that had just plain old taken our stuff and claimed it as their own, things that had taken me 20 years to develop. You know, they just sort of came to class, took the book, and claimed it as their own. And when we won overwhelmingly in the court system, they twisted it just a little bit to make it look ridiculous and like we were coming after them for something very frivolous. And they didn't tell all the truth. And I think the difference is, used to be in our little town, we had this preacher come and get on his soapbox and preach and scream at people. But he was dirty, he spit on people, and so they got to see the face of the words. And I think with the internet, the words are there, but the person who spoke them is faceless.
Right.
And we just need to help people learn discrimination, to look a little deeper. I mean, how many of us go past the first page when we're looking for something? I think it would be rare for me to go more than, say, 5 or 6 pages deep. So maybe we can create a what do you call those web browser things?
Search engine?
We can, a truth search engine. Or
yeah, I like the idea.
If you want to know the truth about that posting, go here. I don't know, but something needs to be done in things that I have researched. I was looking at an article, and it was all about how great sugar is and this and this, and I'm thinking, good grief, who wrote this thing? And then I dig and find out it was written by the sugar people that sell it. So how tainted can you get? How do we discriminate here? We just need to dig a little deeper and find out what is really going on. And I don't want to say dig the dirt and find out who's the horses behind that's causing the problem, because I think it's going to be the same kind of crap. You sue them in court, and 10 years later, when the damage is done, you know, it's over. We need to find a better way.
Yep.
I don't know what it is, but we certainly need to find a better way to go after these people, not only as the health system broken down, the IRS, the money system, legal system is broke. It just doesn't work anymore with the criminals. And you know, a bit off the subject, but
yep.
There was 4 people, and this article was national, 4 people who left their babies in the cars and the babies died.
Wow.
2 white, a man and a woman, 1 black woman, and 1 Hispanic man. The white man and the white woman were not even charged. The black woman got like 18 years. The Hispanic man got 22 years. That's a broken legal system when they did identical things. And even the scenarios in court were just almost identical. And that's not right. It's not just. So not only does this come as a personal issue of how we can access the internet, but I'd like to play another one of his issues, and it's about the IRS. I think it's one of the most powerful things I have heard him say. Let me see if I can get that to come.
Great.
I think it's coming up now. My computer is a little contrary.
Hey, YouTube. Welcome back to the Ron Paul 2008 channel feature on YouTube 2008. Today, you're going to hear Dr. Paul talk about abolishing the IRS and ending the federal government's raid on your paycheck. Stay tuned.
The notion of a free society is that you own your own life, and your life is your own. I happen to believe it comes from a creator, and therefore I have personal obligations. But it's my life to deal with. The income tax assumes the opposite. The income tax assumes that you belong to the state. If your life were your own, you'd have a right to your life. Nobody can, the government should make sure that if anybody threatens your life, that they can intervene and take care of that threat of violence. But we have a right to our life, and we have a right to our liberty to act out as long as we don't hurt people. But then we ought to have a right to the fruits of our labor, which causes the incentive, and that creates the wealth in a free society. But if the assumption is made that the government has control over your income, whether it's 1% or 99%, the principle is 100%, the government has control. So if they permit you to keep a certain percentage, they're in the driver's seat. And, of course, our taxes vary a lot, and they're hidden. But the average American works now half the time, you know, to pay their taxes, and they're getting less for it every year because of the economic problems that we face. So I don't like it because of the assumption. Of course, the other reason I despise it is because of the way it's collected. We are required as individuals to literally become slaves to the government by reporting endlessly reams and reams of personal financial information that in a free society would be your own business. And then if the IRS comes and they challenge us, you know, for our tax return, the assumption is you're guilty, and you don't have regular court. You go to a tax court. You have to prove yourself innocent. So it puts our whole Constitution on its head, and I think it's terrible economics. It really does not conform with the Constitution, and it ultimately destroys the productive capacity of this country. I think it's the overtaxation that helps encourage so many of our jobs to go overseas.
Now, if you do away with the income tax, will the government have money to spend?
Probably still too much, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
Yes, you know, the income tax itself doesn't pay for more than half of, you know, it's less than half of what government has. So it is true, if you didn't want to replace it, which I don't, you'd have to cut spending, which I would.
Okay.
And I'd cut it first, you know, on all the foreign expenditures, because that's the biggest boondoggle going on. And the people who would suffer there would be the military-industrial complex, and I haven't worried too much about them. So, yes, you could do it. It's not the whole amount of taxes coming from the income tax, but it would really, really stimulate the economy. I mean, you would have a lot more very wealthy people and a lot more middle-class people that would be moving up. There'd be a lot more funds available for the generosity that the American people are known for. And we may even go back to the point where churches ran hospitals and had charity and all of these things that used to be wonderful that we've done away with because we assume the government will take care of us. And what do? When they provide these services, whether it's education or medicine, all it does is it pushes up prices and ruins the distribution. And that's why people are so unhappy with both those areas, whether it's medical care or education.
One of the things I remember in line right with what he was saying is there was an article in our paper, they shut down our local Planned Parenthood because of lack of government support and money, and in the same paper they just sent $600,000 to India to study birth control.
Mm.
Now, are they trying to buy friendship with all of this foreign aid? There's some countries that really need it, but if it's suffering, if your neighbor is suffering, give them some. Don't give them your kids' food and let your children go hungry because they need it over there. That's a problem.
Absolutely.
For me. And we went from IRS to foreign aid there. But when you really count up the taxes you are paying, not only income tax, on your income to the federal government, your income to the state, your income to your county, your income to your city, your income to your school municipality, you pay income tax, or you pay tax on your gasoline and all of your purchases of clothes. Well, food we don't in Ohio, but they have tax on top. When you really counted up how much of this week's income went to taxes, and, you know, they're in Ohio, at least, I don't know how it is other places, they're taxing our phone service now.
Right.
They tax you now when you rent a video.
Well, some I've saw one estimate that since the, that the government basically gets at least half the wealth produced in the economy in the country, and as we know from economic theory, production predates predation. You can't take what has not already been produced, so the government doesn't produce anything; it only takes. If it takes half, that means that we would, as individuals, be twice as wealthy without that imposition, and everything we bought would be half as expensive, which means we'd be four times wealthier than we are today.
He goes
so
on.
The burden of this imperial government that we have is a tremendous burden on our society. It makes us all less wealthy than we would otherwise be.
With what's going on in the news today and Friday, let's play his idea about the monetary policy fits
very
right in
important
to what's going on. It's only about 2 minutes, and if we need to go off the air while this is going on, that's okay too.
Thanks for tuning in once again to the Ron Paul 2008 channel feature on You Choose 2008. You've heard a different issue brought to you every day. Today, we're going to hear Dr. Paul talk about one of the most difficult and important issues in the campaign, sound monetary policy. So, check out this video. Subscribe to the Ron Paul 2008 YouTube channel. Come by the office and volunteer, and we'll see you on the campaign trail. Governments can spend money and not be responsible. They can tax to a degree, and they can borrow to a degree, but then they can print the money when they need it. And common sense tells almost anybody that looks at this that, you know, you just can't get away with that. This causes problems, because if we double the money supply, which we do in not too many years, why wouldn't that money have half the value?
Right.
So it's the money that goes down in value which causes the inflation, the higher prices to rise, which is so harmful to the middle class and the poor, because they suffer rising prices more so than if you're on Wall Street, where you get to use the newly created money to promote deals, you know, leverage buyouts and these things. They make billions of dollars. Or if you get the money, use the money first, like the government or the military-industrial complex or that, or the health industry now, which is the government industry, then all of a sudden they have their advantages, but the middle class and the poor literally can get wiped out through a monetary process. Monetary policy is very, very important, and other people don't want to talk about it, either because they like the way it works and they can finance their project, or they just don't understand it. But the American people, I find, are understanding this better than a lot of people here in Washington.
Is this the so-called inflation tax you talk about quite often? Is that how that affects
Right. It is an inflation tax, and even though it's not taxed in the conventional sense, it's a tax because that's how you can get money out of people's wallet without taking it from them through the IRS. So if you double the money supply and your dollar goes down 50%, the government has literally stolen 50% of the value of your money. So it is an inflation tax. It's very, very unfair. It is the most regressive tax we have.
Yes, indeed. Very powerful.
There is so much going on, and I think he is giving us back our opportunity to be America again. And I don't think they're going to be able to fake him out of the election. If he, and I think he will, get to the polls, and he loses because of some glitch in the election count, I think there'll be an absolute civil war in this country. I don't know what they'd call it. But for people listening to this, www.ronpaul2008.com. Get in touch with them. Donate. Tell them you heard it through BBS Radio. Get in touch with your local election board. Register to vote in the Republican primary. Ralph, can you talk about that a bit as we go off the air, how he's going to get on the ballot?
Well, that's the issue. Now, you know, we're in the very beginning of the presidential campaign right now, and it would be really good for people who have not voted in primary elections in the past to be willing to register, at least temporarily as a Republican, to make sure that Dr. Paul is going to have a chance to get on the delegates from all over the country at the convention. The primary elections are very important, and you don't have to vote for that party just because you're registered for it. You're free to vote for whomever you choose to at the in the general election. But, you know, in many ways, your voice is much more powerful in the primary election, where many, many fewer people actually vote, than it is in the general election. And by the time the general election comes around, the choices have already been made to a great extent. So I strongly urge people to, you know, I haven't been registered as a Republican for many, many, many decades, actually, for decades. And I'm going to register in order to be able to vote in the primary. And I think that's an important thing to do for supporters of Dr. Paul.
There are so many incredible letters on his site, and the local people are all organizing it. I'm going to leave with a couple of his colleagues and what they've said. Far too many Republicans in recent times have claimed to be fiscally responsible in principle, only to then vote for big spending programs that will leave our grandchildren bankrupt. They claim to believe in the Constitution's limits on government's power, but their actions say something else entirely. This is why your decision to formally explore running for the president is so important. Sadly, not many in the public life fully understand the Constitution, which they have taken oath to defend, nor do they fully grasp the principles of liberty on which it is grounded. That is why I appreciate the fact, and this is a letter to Ron Paul from Congressman Walter B. Jones, this is why I appreciate the fact that you are willing to consider entering the competition of ideas that is a presidential race. As Congress premier defender of the Constitution, you would have a platform necessary to espouse the ideas that are vital to turning America around, and you would be in a position to hold that candidates accountable for talking one way to their supporters at home and then voting another way in public office. I look forward to the prospect of you running and having the platform to raise the issues that too many candidates would prefer to ignore. Congressman Walter B. Jones, Republican, North Carolina. And there's one really quick one. Ron Paul is one of the most principled and courageous men I have ever known. He believes in our Constitution and votes that way in Congress, even when he sometimes has to stand alone. I have the greatest respect and admiration for Ron Paul, and I believe this nation would be a much better place if we had more people like him in public offices throughout the land. Congressman John Duncan, Tennessee. There are hundreds of these colleagues, and they're calling him a hero, and I believe they're right. And I would like to join in all the people and getting behind Ron Paul. I'm going to send my donation in today, and I encourage you to do that also. And to listen to Ron Paul Radio, and that Sunday at 3 o'clock on BBS Radio. There's no music that could follow what we did today.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Ralph, for being here. We'll see you guys on Monday.
Yep. Bye now.
Would you like to know the real secret? I'm not talking about the new movie or book. I'm talking about you. You are the biggest secret in your life. Your secret could unlock your highest potential and fulfill all your dreams. What is that secret?